Hello, radio friends. This is 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, which is Tufts Freeform Radio. My name is Ryan. I will be with you for the next hour, and this is Hours of Pun, the best and most punterful radio program on the network today. Now, I'm sorry for this slightly half-baked introduction to the show. Unfortunately, I was just finishing enrolling in my classes for next semester. But half-baked might be a good way to start off this program, because this will be the Flower Hour. This is part two of a special we did last week, the Flower Hour, that's with a W that time, and we're going to be exploring this week different things about flower with a U, different things about its use, and all sorts of components of how it enters into our day-to-day lives. Now, before we get started with a bit of the history of flower, I thought we would play some songs illustrating the diverse uses that it has all across the culinary enterprises. Now, bread is by far the most common use of flour in baking. However, there are other things that you can use it in, of course, and some of them maybe we prefer were more common. So, as someone once said, maybe there is no bread, but let them eat cake. So, with that being said, and with that in mind, let's look a little bit at bread and cake.
So sugary sweet, your fingers feel like cotton when you put your arms around me. I feel like I'm just missing something whenever you leave. We've got all the ingredients except you loving me. And respectfully, you taste like buttercream. You're filling up my senses with empty calories. I feel like I'm just missing something whenever you leave. We've got all the ingredients except you need in me. So respectfully,
I'm just a piece of cake. reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and biting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance. He's haunted by something he cannot define. Bowel-shaking earthquakes of doubt and remorse assail him, impale him with monster truck force. In his mind, he's still driving, still making the grade. She's hoping in time that her memories will fade. Cause he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's striving and driving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns.
Melanie Martinez with Cake, followed by the band Cake performing The Distance, perhaps their most well-known song. This is all part of the Flower Hour here on WMFO Medford. So without any further ado, let's dive into the history of Flower and learn a little bit more about how it came to become such a staple in our diets. Now, the earliest flour came from crushed wheat seeds in between millstones in around 6000 BC. However, the Romans were the first to create real mills. And then we didn't really do much else with flour. It kind of stagnated in the technology until the industrial era. Specifically, in 1879, the first steam mill was built in London. And then in the 1930s, we began to enrich flour with various vitamins, acids, and chemicals in order to bleach it and extend its then only 6-month shelf life to allow it to be processed and shipped all across the world in a manner that would allow it to get there and not be full of nasty grubs and molds. Now, one of the most important technologies that allowed us to do this was the removal of the germ, which is a component of the flour stalk that has a large number of the fatty acids in the wheat. And of course, these fatty acids are what would eventually go bad and make the flour nasty. So they added a bunch of vitamins, a bunch of micronutrients, and a bunch of amino acids that previously had been relatively unknown. But before they were able to do this, the easiest solution was simply to take the fat out of the flour, to kill anything that might be in it with steam or heat or even microwave radiation, and then to add it to the flour again. And this was largely effective in preventing the spread of nastiness on flour. So, with that being said, we are going to jump right back into our discussion of cake, actually, because you can never have too much cake. So here is yet another discussion of what cake can mean. Here is DNCE with their smash hit Cake by the Ocean. I sincerely hope that you enjoy it as much as I believe that I will.
Living dangerously.
So I will say that after hearing that song maybe more in depth than before, I do now have a much better idea of what it's about. However, I am still at a loss to explain exactly what Cake by the Ocean is intended to be a metaphor for. Now, this is our flower hour, despite the fact that all the music we have played thus far has been about cake, so I thought we might like to take a break and hear a little bit from someone who maybe isn't me about how flour is made. Specifically, let's listen to someone who talks about how all things are made. This is from a TV show called How It's Made, but I am very confident that you will be able to understand the full breadth of the message without the visual components. Enjoy.
The grain most commonly ground into flour is wheat. Flour mills use high-protein or hard wheat species to make bread flour, and lower protein or soft wheat species to produce cake and pastry flour. All-purpose flour is a compromise with medium protein. As soon as the wheat shipment arrives, a grain probe vacuums up samples from throughout the load. If the samples pass quality inspection, the mill gives the truck the go-ahead to dump the wheat onto an underground conveyor. From there, the grain goes into a cleaning machine, where a system of sieves removes impurities such as straw, sticks, and grain dust. The wheat then goes into storage silos until milling time. The protein content of wheat varies by species, so the first step is to blend together the right varieties of wheat for the type of flour they'll be making. From the blender, the wheat goes through a second, more intensive cleaning system that removes the tiniest of impurities, such as weed seeds and dust. On the way to the milling machines, a scale tracks production quantities. This mill's vertical production line is 5 stories high. Gravity carries the wheat downward through a succession of milling machines. Each one grinds the grain between steel rollers and then sifts it. Particles too large to pass through a sieve continue downward into the next milling machine, and so on. By the time the wheat hits the last machine, anything that's not fully processed gets vacuumed up to the top to begin the cycle again. Mills make white flour by grinding only the wheat kernel's soft inner part, called the endosperm. This requires removing the bran, the kernel's hard skin, and the germ, its seed. That separation begins as soon as the wheat kernels enter the very first milling machine. Rollers break off the germ and bran and crush the endosperm into pieces called semolina. Sifting removes the germ and loose bran pieces, but much of the semolina remains covered in bran particles. So between each milling station is a purifier, a machine that uses controlled air currents to float the lighter bran above the heavier semolina, enabling sieves to separate the two components. The semolina goes through repeated grind, sift, and purify cycles until it's completely clean. Only then can it be finely ground into flour. The ground semolina passes through a series of sieves. This ensures it doesn't leave the final milling machine until it's been ground to the right powdery texture. There are 3 main types of white wheat flour. Bread flour has high protein, enabling dough to rise well and bake to a firm texture. Cake flour has low protein, which produces a crumbly texture. All-purpose flour is the compromise. Its medium protein content makes it suitable for baking both bread and cakes. By the end of production, the flour mill has produced 3 distinct products. Bran, used for animal feed and baking. White wheat flour. And wheat germ, for the health food market. Leftover byproducts go into livestock feed. In the mill's quality control lab, they bake the product for which the flour is designed and then examine its appearance, texture, and taste. They use specialized equipment to calculate the volume, the density, protein, and moisture contents. With baked goods destined for retail sale, like these cookies, it's especially important to measure the dimensions. If dough overexpands, the cookies won't fit in their package. Just prior to packaging, the mill enriches its white flour with vitamins and minerals. This replaces the vitamins and minerals lost when the milling process removed the bran and germ. They shake the bags to settle the flour. Bagged flour in various sizes goes out to supermarkets, restaurants, and commercial bakeries, while tanker trucks ship bulk flour to large industrial bakeries.
Great, so now we know everything we would have ever wanted to about how bread is made. I don't know about you, but I feel very good about the 5 minutes I just spent. So, we are going to continue now with some of the different things that you can bake flour into, and just examining the very diverse, incredible plethora of baked goods that can be created. However, we're not going to go straight away from desserts. However, we will use a new dessert which does not use the cake flour that we have just been learning about. Instead, it actually uses bread flour, despite the fact that it is a dessert item that many people would associate with cake, and that is pie. The superior cake uses a different kind of flour. Now, of course, you could make either with all-purpose flour. I know this, and you know this, but bakers, they do not know this. And let's not tell them, because their baked goods are so delicious, and mine keeps setting off smoke alarms. All right, now here is a song about pie, specifically pie in America.
I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep, I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. Did you write the book of love? And do you Chevy to the levee, but the levee stole his thorny crown. The courtroom was adjourned.
Bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to
All right, that was American Pie by Don McLean, followed immediately by Truckin' by the band Bread. This is the Flower Hour, and as you can tell, we just had our first appearance of Bread in our music, the most common, I would say most popular, of all of Flower's uses. However, we will notice throughout the hour that, despite the fact that bread is so popular and common in our society, bread is not a very common name for songs or bands. Now, of course, this may be because the band Bread stole it in the 1970s as a name to use. However, we saw with Cake that many people can use songs of the same name, or even bands of the same name, so long as they're willing to do a little friendly Twitter competition. But I think there's a very good reason why we get more excited for certain baked goods. And we're going to talk about that quite soon, but here is one reason why we might get more excited, and here it is explained by my very good friend, Alton Brown, who is for sure in the studio with me.
Men are attracted to the smell of yeast because it reminds them of beer. So,
cool. So, Alton Brown says, men are attracted to the smell of yeast. I find that very interesting, because in my wanderings looking for various different kinds of flower in music, I continually found that these flower-based leavened products were so incredibly popular in certain imagery, I'm going to say, that is intended to be evocative towards men. So, we have seen flower being used in certain more pure contexts, although we have heard a few slightly raunchy cakes. But here is Rihanna blowing that wide open and showing us the full spectrum of what flower can mean to us.
Come and put your name on it. Put your name on it. Come and put your name on it. Your name, put your wanna put your name. Cake.
actually two different kinds of leaveners that you can use in breads. So we just heard about yeast and some of their very interesting interpretations in our psyches. However, you can also leaven things with baking powder or baking soda, which is the purer form of baking powder. And so these powders and sodas work relatively quickly. They rely on chemical reactions between acidic compounds and alkaline compounds to produce carbon dioxide, and that makes tiny little bubbles within your dough and makes it rise in the oven. However, yeast is a living cell. There's about 160 different species that we know of, although there are probably a lot more. And we use these yeasts to make the flour get small bubbles before we bake it. And this creates an entirely different leavening agent. Now, we just heard a song about something that might use a yeasty leavening agent. However, maybe we also might be into something that uses these smaller little bubbles. I wonder why. Well, Ivy Levon might know. So we're gonna check in with her, and then we'll be back.
Hold up. Let me make one thing clear. If you want to keep on running your mouth, wasting my time, then here's what you gotta do. Come on, give it a kick!
So now we know it was a mistake to ask Ivy Levon. All right, so flour has a high composition of starches, which are a form of carbohydrates, also known as polysaccharides. And when we want to deal with flour, we want to bleach it. We want to take a certain amount of protein and include it or exclude it, and the more protein we add, the fluffier our final result will be. So, how do we do this? We learned a little bit about removing the germ, about milling flour, and about mixing flour earlier in the episode, but we haven't learned a lot about what is added to the flour that we consume in our day-to-day lives. Now, there are four very common additives to varying degrees that we use in the United States today. We use potassium bromate, which strengthens the gluten development. And now this is not very often used in our breads. However, in breads that are prepared in bakeries, many, many of them have potassium bromate as an additive to their flour. We also use benzyl peroxide and ascorbic acid, both of which mature gluten development and bleach the flour. And we do this in commercial flours all the time, along with chlorine gas, which is a wonderful bleaching agent. We, in particular, nearly always chlorinate our cake flour. Although you can make unbleached cake flour, it's made by King Arthur, actually, marketed as unbleached cake flour blend, but its protein content is much higher, and it might screw up any recipe that you make with it, unless you account for that discrepancy. So, we have learned a little bit more about flour as it is used in many contexts, and Hours of Pun would not be complete in any episode if we didn't use at least one context that came from outside of the United States. So here it is, last time on the Flour Hour Part 1, we listened to Girls' Generation with their song Flour Power. Now on Part 2, I invite you to join me in listening to the band Guhara in their solo debut, Choco Chip Cookies. Enjoy.
Choco chip cookie, 우리 단둘이 될 거만 시간을 내는 포장을 뒤져볼 생각은 없어 보관하고 싶어 찔렸어 너가 보고 중에 젤로 내게 맞는 것 같아 부탁해 내일도 아무도 주기 싫어 나만 먹고 싶어 다른 애들 닮고 싶다 이빨 따라갈 수 있어
두구지 쿠키
Wonderful. So that's almost it for us on our program today. But before we go, I would like to make a quick apology. You see, on this program, despite the fact that flour has so many uses, it appears that musically, we have chosen to target its use in cake. Almost exclusively, I believe that almost 50% of the music that we played today referenced cake in some way, and almost all of them, except for one or two notable exceptions, referenced some sort of dessert item. Now, I would normally be much, much more endearing in this apology and much more serious about it. However, I must admit something else to you, which might temper that apology slightly, and that is that the entire time that I was talking about cake and about bread statistics, I was entirely lying. I have absolutely no idea what is the most popular bread or flour-based item in the United States, and I am too lazy to Google it. So, in honor of my great omission, here is the final song from a very famous game in which, similar to this program, the cake was a lie.
This was a triumph. I'm making a note here, huge success. It's hard to overstate my satisfaction. Aperture science. We do what we must because we can. For the good of all of us, except the ones who are dead. But there's no sense crying over every mistake. You just keep on trying till you run out of cake. And the science gets done and you make a neat plan for the people who are still alive.
Now you just say, oh, Romeo, yeah. You know, I used to have a scene with him.